the founder of Operation Save Our Sons, reaching out to the city's young males, and he's doing it with a special program going on right now. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and the show's always live at 9. Also, never miss a program. Subscribe to the Daily Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And just ahead, we will take your calls on One City, One Jacksonville Week for local kids as they head back to school on Monday. Get on the line now, 549-2937, to join us. Also coming up, how one of the big winners from the One Spark Festival used their crowdfunding money to start a very interesting business. Then later, famed percussionist Charlotte Mabry on her final concert at UNF this weekend. All of that ahead this morning. But first this hour, it's billed as a unique program for the city's at-risk kids. One City, One Jacksonville Leadership Week is going on right now, with 106th through 12th grade boys attending a conference all this week and meeting with top city leaders. Can this type of outreach help local kids make better decisions, respect authority, do well in school? That's the idea anyway. The Reverend John Guns, founder of Operation Save Our Sons, created this week's program, and he joins us now to tell us some more. Pastor Guns, always a pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great to see you. And what are your questions for the founder of Operation Save Our Sons, John Guns, in studio now to talk about One City, One Jacksonville Leadership Week, a unique partnership featuring faith leaders, the city, law enforcement, and more. Get on the line now, 549-2937. That's 549-2937, or just go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet the show. And so this week-long initiative is actually happening right now. Tell us all about it.
Right now, there are about 70 young men presently at St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, across from Rebaud High School, going through their morning motivational message. On Monday, I opened it. On yesterday, Pastor Jeffrey Rumlin from Dave Spring Church. And then today, right now, is Pastor Marvin Sanders. And then from there, they're going over to PAL. And they're going to spend the remainder of the day. Daniel Davis will be the luncheon speaker. John Heyman will speak to them in the afternoon. There will be persons like Pedro Cohen and others who will be speaking to them in small groups today. And then they get ready for tomorrow for a tour of the city. And then Friday is going to be an hour and a half spent with the mayor at City Hall, and then fun day. So the next 3 days are going to be incredible.
Pretty amazing opportunity for these young men. And how were they chosen to go through this program?
Well, this Melissa, has been extraordinary because we have a partnership with the mayor, with the sheriff, with the state attorney, with the superintendent of schools, with the chamber, with Florida Blue, community and schools. Just a number of entities came together to do this, and so these young men have come from referrals from the state attorney's office. They've come from referral from teen court. They've come from referral from community and schools, and I really want to give a shout out to Mr. Baxter and the work that they have done in helping us, because they were really one of the first partners. They've come from PAL, and they've come from parents who heard about it that simply wanted to involve their sons in this, and they've come from all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come, and we're talking whites and Latinos and blacks, and so it's not monolithic, it's not singular in terms of race, or even side of town. So it's an exciting week.
A diverse group, but what they all have in common is that they are 6th through 12th grade boys.
Absolutely.
Attending school in this county. Let's talk about why that group is your particular focus. You founded a group, an organization that's had such an impact already, Operation Save Our Sons.
Yes, yes. This group is paramount for this kind of event, because as we look at academic performance and behavior, we see that they are companions. And oftentimes, once they get to this age group or to this grade level, we begin to see some real behavioral challenges to the point that now we're starting to see alternative to schools becoming a permanent place for some of these kids. And so the opportunity to create an environment where for a week they are challenged in terms of understanding how do you succeed in school. It's almost like a boot camp, if you will, in preparing these kids to not only be successful in school as they move into the school year, but more importantly, to prepare them to be successful in life and to place all of these amazing voices and all of these incredible men, primarily men, but men and women before them to challenge them.
And we'll go to your calls in just a moment as the Reverend John Guns, founder of Operation Save Our Sons, joins us to tell us all about what's happening right now in the city, the One City, One Jacksonville Youth Leadership Week. Get on the line now with your calls at 549-2937. What's motivated you to become such an important player in Jacksonville when it comes to strengthening families, reaching out to kids who are at risk of making bad choices, looking at the systemic issues that drive our high crime rate, family instability, poverty? There's a whole host of issues that go hand in hand here in Duval County, and you've really become a leading voice when it comes to trying to make a positive impact. How did you get motivated that way?
You know, it's interesting. Today's a special day for me. 30 years ago, I accepted my call, as we would call it, as we would say, to live out my life as a minister. And so I think over the last 30 years, I have evolved to understand that my real assignment in the world, you know, my legacy will be tied to who I willingly commit my life to impact. And over the last several years, we've seen a group of young men find themselves in some very, you know, destructive and dangerous places. I've done funerals of several young men over the course of my 20 years here in Jacksonville, and I have found myself oftentimes at every funeral of every murdered victim, asking, "What could we have done?" I've buried young men who left sons. And I find myself incredibly motivated because I think at the end, if one segment of our city is unhealthy, then all of it ultimately is. And if we see our city as a body, if your finger is hurting, then it's going to affect every other part of your body. And so I really believe, I believe instead of amputation, I believe that we look for healing.
Let's go to your calls now for Pastor Guns, founder of Operation Save Our Sons. Just a few days before school starts in Duval County, what are your questions about efforts to start the new school year off positively, particularly for teen boys in the city? 549-2937. Steve, along Beach Boulevard. Hey, Steve, good morning. You're on the air. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Melissa, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Reverend Gunn, thank you for what you're doing for our community. And I call because I'm curious as a person that was not raised in the streets but has worked in the inner city all my life, and I go back because I'm curious. I'm looking for an answer from you or direction. Jacqueline Reeves, the First Coast High School student that was shot and murdered at a after prom party, the first. May of last year, the beginning of June, and then subsequently a teen that was shot at his vigil and murdered, and there were over 30 kids that were at this party, and no one has come, and everybody knows who the shooter is, but nobody will come forward and name a name. And I'm just curious, how does Jacksonville take its schools back from these thugs, and how do you take a community that has this tremendous code of silence and they're so afraid of reprisal because there's already been another murder at his vigil afterwards and there were 30 witnesses but nobody's talking? I'm just so curious.
Yeah.
How do you overcome that?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, and truthfully, that is a really, really good question. And And I think a part of the challenge is the fact that there has to be an emphasis, and our mayor and our sheriff are doing that. There has to be an emphasis on crime prevention and safe communities or neighborhoods. Oftentimes, persons are afraid to come forward for fear of retribution, for fear, you know, that they themselves will become the next victim. If you've never lived in that culture climate, it's difficult to understand it. And so I think a part of what our mayor and our sheriff is trying to do, particularly our sheriff in this regard, is he's trying to create a culture of partnership in the community whereby we begin to create a climate where telling the truth does not come with retribution, but it becomes with protection. And that's a conversation that we really have to have in the city, because you're right. Someone knows a lot of times, but a lot of times, because it is a subculture, that subculture tends to take on a greater influence than the greater culture, which says we want to live, we want to be happy, and we want to be whole.
We'll go to your calls for Pastor John Guns as we continue on talking about One City, One Jacksonville Youth Leadership Week, 549-2937, to join the show. Tweets coming in for the Reverend Guns. Here's one from Transform Jacksonville. We want our kids to do more than just survive. We want them to thrive.
Absolutely.
And that's your goal as well.
Absolutely. And ultimately, this week has not been about taking the bad kids and telling them don't be bad. It's been about empowering these kids to believe that the best is possible for them. And so today, the focus is on success. How do you succeed? Tomorrow morning, the focus will be on success in school, because we understand that there's an inexplicable and inseparable link between education and success. And so we are bridging that gap in partnership, because we understand its value.
And when the kids go back to school on Monday, August 24th, you, Reverend Guns, have partnered with Superintendent Vitti and other groups around town. You're going to have 1,000 men in the schools.
That's
as role models, as guides, as mentors. 1,000 volunteers have stepped up to be present in the halls of our schools. Tell us about this effort as well.
You know, it's incredible the collaboration, or the spirit of collaboration, that's in our city right now. I'm excited about it. And our superintendent, who I consider to be a friend and a brother in many ways, has come alongside a group of leaders. Pastor Jeff Rumlin of the Dayspring Church is actually our coordinator. I'm just a pretty face. Shut up, everybody out there. You don't know me. But Pastor Jeff Rumlin and persons like Bishop McKissick and Bishop Leofra Thomas and Pastor John Newman and many others have come together, and we are committed to getting as many men as we can in schools on the first week. Now, I know some may say the first week, well, you know, what does that do? Well, it creates presence. Our superintendent stated at our community meeting, where we had about 250 men come to the Bethel Church, he stated that because men were in the schools the last 2 weeks, they had no major reported incidents in the schools that we targeted. And so the presence of men is vital. And here's the goal. If we get you in once, we may get you in twice. Mm-hmm. If we get you in twice, you may decide this is something I want to do. And so we were able to encourage over 60 men who would have never have gone through the process of signing up as volunteers to start signing up. So we're increasing volunteer numbers among men, particularly African-American men. But we're calling all men to come together. This is not a black thing. This is not a white thing. This is a Jacksonville thing.
Yeah.
And so let's ride, Jacksonville. Let's go make it work. Let's do it, because together we're going to build these bridges and make an amazing city.
And when the men are in the halls of the schools, just their mere presence serves as comforting, reassuring, also a deterrent. You're saying that basically it fosters better behavior among the kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And understand that a lot of times we are concerned about what we say to these kids when we miss the real revelation. It's not what we say. It's who we are. It's the power of presence, and the power of presence can never be understated, undermined, or negated. And so Jacksonville, come on, guys. We can do this. This city is an amazing city. I'm excited about our mayor and our sheriff and everybody. I like everybody. I like everybody this week. Melissa, I like you this week.
Good. I'm glad.
I want you to. I really appreciate you creating opportunities for us all over the city to get our message out in terms of how we become better.
And lots of calls. Let's get you all on the air right now with Pastor John Guns, 549-2937, Warren in Jacksonville. Hi, Warren. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, Pastor Guns and Ms. Melissa. Hey, I just want to ask this question. Pastor Guns, how are you going to approach these outside? How are you going to approach these outside? Hey, good morning.
Yeah, go ahead. Outside what, Warren? Outside what?
Outside influences such as poverty. How are you going to approach these and address these to these young men?
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Warren.
Well, you know, I think you begin by one, placing these young men in an environment where they're exposed to what they ultimately desire, which is success, however that looks. I think secondly, you begin to partner with communities that they live in, and you partner with their families, and you partner with schools. Our church did something this summer called Burgers and Books, and we went into Cleveland Arms in Washington, Cleveland Arms and Hilltop communities, and we actually gave books to children. And parents was telling us that their children were reading this summer. Mm-hmm. And so I think a part of what we do in addressing poverty is that you have to address it at every level. Government is vital. Law enforcement is vital. Education is vital. And the faith community and the nonprofit community is vital. And so in addressing poverty, you have to bring all of these sectors and segments together to begin to look at economic opportunities, to look at employment possibilities, and to look at how do we elevate the mindset of persons so that they embrace this next level of what it means to be a functional and productive citizen?
And this week that you're hosting this One City, One Jacksonville Youth Leadership Week, you're giving the kids a visual example of success
right.
when you're bringing in all these esteemed, successful, mostly male speakers to
right.
talk to them.
All male speakers.
All male speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Your role models that you're exposing the kids to ideas that you're providing that kind of leadership.
Melissa, let me tell you, two things happened this week that totally confirmed how powerful this is. A young man came to us yesterday. I don't even know how he got into the program, but his mom brought him, came to us yesterday. He dropped out of school a year ago. He came to us yesterday and said because of the first 2 days, he is dropping back in school.
That's great.
He wants to go back to school. He said, because of this, I want to go back to school. Second was a kid who said that, listen, I've been in trouble for the last 3 years of my life. I gave up on believing anybody really cared about me. You all are proving to me that this city cares and that you all just don't want to lock us up, but want us to be better. That message right there is the message we want to communicate, that it's not about locking you up. It's about expanding you, unleashing your giftedness and your creativity. And so our effort and efforts like this all over the city are a reflection that we're moving in the right direction.
We're getting so much feedback. Meanwhile, lots of people engaged in this topic, including the offices of Judge Suzanne Bass, Circuit Judge in the Juvenile Division. She has sent an email reminding us that coming up in September, she'll be involved with the first ever Juvenile Justice and Youth Services Fair. So that's another event to look forward to. Lots of calls. Let's go to Robert on the South Side. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Good morning, Melissa. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to just take a brief moment. I really don't have a question. I just simply have a comment. I want to commend you as well as all the other major stakeholders. And what I mean by that is our new sheriff, our mayor, and especially a superintendent for these initiatives. I can't tell you how happy I am on a number of issues. Number one is the sunsetting and decommissioning of so many archaic and ineffective and harsh practices that we thought were working for decades and decades that simply do more harm to children than they do good. And number two, and more importantly, And I see this primarily headed up at the school system under our new superintendent. The level of collaboration and commitment and bringing together of one Jacksonville, all to try to pull in the same direction. You know, I think that resonates. The days of fussing and fighting over grant money, and I mean, he's been so creative and so innovative in trying to bring everybody together for one common goal. And I just want to tip my hat to him and all the other stakeholders and wish you all nothing but the best of luck. And hopefully we can increase the level of connectedness within Jacksonville, because that's simply, I think, what we really need to do now, and that is connect the adults with the children. It's the single most important influence that we can ever do for youngsters, and that is getting engagement, connectedness at the adult level to realize that they play such a major role and function in our young people's lives. So thank you. God bless you and your efforts and the superintendent and everybody else that's sitting at the table. And I certainly hope Jacksonville can rally around such a great and worthy cause.
Can I respond to his
statement? Yeah, please.
I am transparency. I'm an African-American pastor on the north side of Jacksonville. There comes challenges with being a pastor. But one of the things that I've made a commitment to do is to work to build bridges. I understand the power of collaboration and partnership. I understand that we have to transcend color and race and gender and class. I understand that our problems will not be solved with me somehow operating as the angry victim and blaming everybody for my problems. But I also believe that everyone must take ownership of the problems we have. And I believe that that is happening. Our mayor and our sheriff and our superintendent, our state attorney, and I keep stating these persons because for me, I see the effort. You know, One City, One Jacksonville Leadership Week is not the result of one man who had an idea. It's the result of several partners and players who decided that they want to help. And even us being here today says that this station is committed to saying, let's see how we can help. And so at the end of the day, we're in a good place. And I think if we keep pressing and pushing, and there's going to always be antagonistic voices, but even if you disagree, at least look for a healthy way to partner with what is good so we can ultimately see the best.
Let's go now to Joyce in Jacksonville. Hey, Joyce, thanks for holding. You're on the air, Joyce. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Good morning, Ms. Melissa and Pastor Gunn. I would like to see, from school, third grade on up, some kind of program, because I'm big on prevention. If we can reach the boys when they're little, follow them all the way up, we wouldn't be going through this major big problem issues right now when they're teenagers and in their 20s. And third on up, they should have films on morals, how to not do this and that on the moral side of things, so they can know as they grow what's right and what's wrong and the consequences. Show them films in prison. If you steal this or you shoot this, this is where you are. You're going to end up in this place that looks like this. Films about real prison, to show them the big consequences, and we would not be reaping this rotten fruit of just a big moral issue of them getting into things. Thou shalt not do this. You don't have to go on the Bible basis of it, which it is, but because of school, it could be called morals to get it in the school. Films on consequences, if you do this action, if you steal, if you kill, if you beat up, if you, whatever's going on that has their mind kind of warped on. It's okay that if I shoot somebody, nothing bad going to happen. But they need to see from 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade. Yes, there is consequences, and this is what it's going to look like. A picture is better than 1,000 words. So I would like to see something like that in place, starting with 3rd all the way up, showing the boys, the girls, everybody that if you do this, if you bounce a check, if you do this, this is how your life is going to be messed up.
All right, Joyce.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Joyce. Pastor Guns.
True. And one of the things that we're doing, this is my shameless commercial. One of the things we're doing is through Operation Save Our Sons, we started a program called Young Guns. Yes, I have 3 girls, Young Guns. Don't judge me. And it's actually fourth and fifth graders. And mm-hmm. we started.
Why would we judge you calling it that?
Young Guns, because I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, Young Guns, John Guns. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think people get it, and I think they like it. I mean, you know, it's a play on words. And,
sure.
You know, but exactly. people, but hey, I mean, it's making an impact. So I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, tell us more about it.
Yeah,
no, and what we're doing is that we're working with fourth and fifth graders. Our superintendent has partnered with us, and we've partnered with him, rather, and it's going to be expanded from one school to five. And our focus is going to be on elementary schools, and then the 5,000 role models will focus on middle school and high schools. And the goal is to expand it throughout the district. And I agree with you. We have to start younger. Truthfully, our kids in kindergarten and first and second grade are starting to develop a pattern of behavior, and so a lot of work has to be done in the formative stages of a young man or young woman's life. Next year, our goal is to include Leadership Week for young men to be Leadership Week for young men and young women, because we now understand that we have to expand this beyond just males. And so, you know, the city is evolving, and our leadership is open to that evolution.
And a lot of people want to help. Here's a tweet from Nogi Jiu-Jitsu of Jacksonville. How can we partner with Save Our Sons to provide martial arts self-defense to build respect and confidence? We want to serve our youth. For organizations that want to partner with what you're doing, how can they do that?
Call us at 904-394-6077, 904-394-6077. Sharon Grant, who serves as our assistant in Operation Save Our Sons, will gladly take your information, and then we'll set up an opportunity to sit down and talk. I think at the end of the day, I'm excited because there are so many entities out here that want to partner, and of course we want to look for creative ways to include as many as we can, and for us to partner with others, because at the end of the day, it's about teamwork.
And just a few days left till school starts. So much happening right now this week. And Pastor Guns, thanks for sharing it with us.
No problem. Thank you.
Pastor John Guns, founder of Operation Save Our Sons, joining the show. And much more still ahead later. A local music legend goes out with a bang. Literally, we'll speak with renowned percussionist Charlotte Mabry. But up next, growing one of the biggest success stories from One Spark in a moment.
In the land of drought, those with the water are kings.
They control our destiny here. They really do. And they can dry this town up.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Farms in the desert in the middle of a drought. What could possibly go wrong? We'll have that and the rest of the day's business news as well next time on Marketplace from APM.
Weeknights at 6 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
WJCTnews.org is your source for the latest local, national, and international news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts of your favorite local stories and shows, the WJCT First Read every weekday morning, and playlists from all of our after-hours music programming. From your computer or mobile device, see it all at WJCTnews.org.
On the next episode of WJCT's Hometown, meet local artist Hiromi Moneyhun, learn about the Lighthouse Archaeological Maritime Program, brew with Callie Marie, be inspired by childhood cancer survivor Taylor Sheeby, and a performance by local band Wise River. Explore the people, places, and events in your hometown. Thursday night at 8 on WJCT Public Television.
Larry Wilmore has had to deal with some tragic stories since his satirical news program, The Nightly Show, premiered in January. He recently marked the one-year anniversary of Ferguson.
I mean, it's crazy how time flies when you're in a constant panic about getting shot by the cops.
Larry Wilmore talks about finding his voice on the next Fresh Air. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
Welcome back. Well, after winning the tech category at Jacksonville's One Spark Festival this spring, the guys behind an innovative idea promising the fastest way to change your trash have made big strides with their business concept. One of the biggest success stories coming out of One Spark, here to talk trash this morning, we welcome Sam Canadillo and Remo Cousins, co-founders of Optimal Bagging. Hi, guys. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being with us. You won the tech category at One Spark, very competitive category. Kudos to you. First off, let's explain what your idea is.
Well, we didn't start out thinking we were going to come up with the world's fastest trash bag. As silly as it sounds, we've revolutionized the way people change trash. Consider how we change the trash today. Most people go under their counter and grab the box, take the roll out of the box, unroll the bag, fumble with the opening, shake it out, stuff it into a container, wrap it over the edge. With Optimal Bagging, the bags come in packs that are conveniently hanging over the back lip of the trash can. Like a tab on a bag of chips, you simply pull the tab to open it. The optimal bagging fold allows the air to flow straight to the bottom, which eliminates the shake, so all you have to do is pull the bag over the edge. In fact, Melissa, you're on the board for HEAL. I'm sure there's some individuals who have some physical handicaps, and a product like this would simplify that component of their life.
Wow, you've done some research on me, haven't you?
Yeah.
Pretty smart. Okay, so since winning One Spark, what has happened since then with the idea of optimal bagging?
Sure, we've been in progress of setting up our manufacturing. As well as we recently did a ride-along with Leon County in Tallahassee, the Parks and Recreation Department. Part of that was to determine if putting our bags in their facilities, government facilities, would help them reduce their labor time.
Uh-huh.
We're also looking to do the same in Duval right now. So we're networking, trying to find potential distribution channels and things like that.
So winning the crowdfunding money, was it the money that was the big impetus or the publicity? What was the biggest help for you at One Spark?
You know, the money was great. $15,000 is a great start. We're happy. Because we didn't raise what we needed to outside of being, you know, first place, we parlayed our success into a successful crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter, which led to a successful investment through strategic financing, allowing us to open up our manufacturing facility and file secondary patents internationally on our fold. So Optimal Bagging is now in a position to be a potential vendor for national companies like Grainger or American Building Maintenance.
Pretty exciting. And your warehouse is going to open here in the city somewhere?
No.
Where are you going to open it up?
So we're planning on setting up distribution here in Jacksonville. Since we do have a port here, our goal is to help Jacksonville jobs as well as the market here grow. It wasn't cost for the amount of money we were able to raise. We were actually not able to set up manufacturing here in the States. So we're actually setting up manufacturing overseas at the moment.
Aha. Uh-huh. So, but that goes to a larger issue of making a business work, given some of the particulars. What was the biggest challenge you found to setting up your facility stateside?
The biggest portion actually was this fold that we came up with doesn't exist. And believe it or not, actually folding trash bags is a difficult thing. We went to several manufacturing or machine specialists here in the States just for them to even look at it and give us a feasibility study to see if it's possible. It was just $25,000 just to do that. And at the end of the day, it would have costed us about $500,000 just to be able to build our first prototype machine. And at that point, it would be determined if it was truly feasible to do this. So just to even get our foot in the door, that $500,000 was a big hurdle for us.
And, huh. Yeah. So where are you now in the process?
So our investors are actually an Indian family, and they're setting up the manufacturing in their hometown. So it's a family-run business, and you know, most of us are actually a group of guys who grew up here in Jacksonville. We grew up together. So we kind of partnered up, and we're working on, we have a twofold process on where we are. And right now, manufacturing is being set up, as well as distribution here in Jacksonville.
How did you come up for the idea to a new way of bagging trash. How did you come up with this idea?
So our founding father, that's our partner, Patrick Breslin, he was working in his yard one day. And every time he went to collect the leaves as he was raking them to rake them into the bags, he would have to take off his gloves and fumble with the bags. And so he started messing around with different ideas. He would pre-open his bags. He would stuff them one in the other. And pretty much like a mad scientist, he would come up with this new fold, or he came up with this new fold, and that's where we are today.
Is it your goal to have everybody doing their trash this way?
Certainly.
Is this going to transform the industry? Well, that's the goal, right?
Well, think about ice makers, right? No one goes and puts an ice maker in the fridge. It would be ridiculous. This is the fastest and most convenient way to change trash, period. And for people who haven't seen it, they could see it at optimalbagging.com.
Optimalbagging.com. And so what's next? Where do you go from here?
So right now, while the manufacturing is being set up, again, we're just networking, setting up distribution channels, and then talking with the counties and government distributors or things like that.
If somebody wanted to buy this product now, could they?
They actually can pre-order it at optimalbagging.com. So you can go there.
You can do that.
Mm-hmm. So you could be on the waiting list for the fastest trash bag.
All right. Well, keep us posted, guys, and congratulations.
Thank you.
It's exciting. Any final thoughts for people entering into OneSpark, what they need to do to be winners like you?
Certainly to prepare as much as possible. Do your homework. That also means our recruiting. You need to have volunteers to get the word out. There's just so many people. It's very hard to do it with a small team.
Yeah, and you know, we went out there and we had fun. We weren't really expecting to win. So I think a lot of it is going in there with just the attitude that I'm here to have fun.
Thanks for joining us. It's exciting to hear about this new business concept coming out of Northeast Florida. Sam Canadillo, Remo Cousins. They are co-founders of the Tech Winners from the 2015 OneSpark Festival, Optimal Bagging. And we're back in a moment.
Thanks, Melissa.
Listeners love Relax Radio.
Hi, I'm Evan Willman. I typically listen to the station when I'm in my my home office. I work out of my house a lot. I have my HD radio in there. So this is really the best of all worlds. It gives me my news. It gives me music that constantly delights and surprises me.
When you make a $120 gift to WJCT, you'll receive an HD radio so you can tune in to Relax. Call 904-353-9528 for more information.
Spend some time in the Square, an online venue for local artists. WJCT, the Cultural Council of Greater Jacksonville, and Grassroots Natural Market invite you to vote for your favorite submission. Vote now through the end of the month. To learn more about the Square and to place your vote, visit wjct.org/thesquare.
Julius Rosenwald was a man who made millions and whose greatest legacy was how he gave so much of it away.
I say it's the greatest philanthropist you've never heard of.
How one American giant in business also became a giant supporter of African-American education in the South. His story in a new documentary later on All Things Considered from NPR News. Weekdays at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
Follow what's happening at WJCT, even when you're away from your radio. You can follow WJCT on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can listen live online to WJCT-FM at wjct.org/listen, or on iTunes Radio or TuneIn Radio. And you can hear all of your favorite WJCT-FM shows anytime on demand on iTunes and Stitcher. Wherever you are, WJCT is there.
Welcome back. Well, finally this hour, after an incredible career in music spanning decades, renowned local percussionist Charlotte Mabry is preparing for a big performance this weekend in Jacksonville. Mabry, who is the longtime principal percussionist with the symphony, is soon to retire from UNF, where she has taught percussion since 1981. But don't call this weekend's big show a farewell concert. Charlotte Mabry and her friend and collaborator Robert White join us now with a preview. Good morning.
Howdy.
Good morning.
Hi, good to see you both.
Thank you so much.
And kudos to you. What an incredible career to talk about. We'll talk about the concert in a moment. But first, you have been teaching on the UNF campus. I read this in the Times Union since 1981. And in fact, you've come full circle. You have now taught fathers and sons.
Oh, yes.
You taught one guy percussion, and then recently you had his son.
Yes.
Pretty incredible.
Yes, it's shocking.
Yeah, you know, and you never expected this, I'm sure, when you started out.
Not at all. I just was, Barry Olsafsky was my very first student. I had one. Had one student. And this fall, his son, Matt, is going to be enrolling, and I was like, I think this is a sign.
But your students love you, and the community loves you. Bob White, as I mentioned, Charlotte, principal percussionist with the symphony for so long. At a certain point, you and Charlotte teamed up and collaborated. And I have to just quote this. The phrase she used to work with you, or the first time she met you, was two porcupines kissing.
What in the world?
I'm sure that was an interesting meeting.
It was an interesting meeting. It was a very interesting meeting. I remember it took place at Ragtime out at the beach. Mm-hmm. And I think we knew of each other. But our first meeting was about sitting down together to do a specific piece of work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of trust that goes on in a conversation like that. And I think what we've discovered over time is that the trust is very well founded.
Yes. In fact, I think for me, I was, as a classical musician, you learn the notes on the page. You wear what they say you're going to wear. The conductor never stops to say, that was really fantastic. The only time they stop is to tell you something that you've done wrong. So I lived in a small box of creativity. And so when I met Bob, this was very scary to me, that all of a sudden I was like in charge of my destiny. And yet Bob sensed that, and he just sort of carried me along for several shows. I have to say several shows.
And what you've been able to do with percussion as an art form, it's been extraordinary. You've done some amazing work.
Thank you so much. It's been great. One of the things that is so wonderful about UNF is that it's both good and bad. The good is, if you want to do it, do it. Right. The bad is, if you want to do it, you have to do it. But over time, it's allowed me to do any kind of percussion music. I've never been, my shoulders never looked over things like that. We, at one point, we had a piece that was for a car. And so we tried to put my Honda car, which, you know, weighed as much as a roller skate, on the stage and was told no. So we used a golf cart. So that was good. We've done a piece with bicycles, Travelon, Gamelon, it was called. So
she'll hit anything.
And why is that? I mean, this is generalizing a little bit, but you tend to think of percussion as more of a guy's drums, as something men like. You're a very esteemed and skilled female percussionist. What drew you to that instrument?
It's like out of that movie where the sky opens and the harp plays, but literally this guy from a music school, I'm sure it was a scam to get parents to rent these things. He said, who wants to play the snare drum? And it just resonated with me. I have no idea why. And, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know of those prejudices. You just know something that you love.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest, people have asked me, have you ever experienced that? Maybe I just ignore it. I just feel like if you do your best, none of that's going to matter.
Now, your work with the symphony has been incredible. Your work on the UNF campus has also been so esteemed. When you think back on those two aspects of your career, what are some highlights that you really remember fondly?
For my symphony highlight, we were playing Pictures at an Exhibition Mussorgsky, and there's the final movement's called The Great Gate of Kiev, and symphonic music for me is exhilarating. I don't know why neither of my parents played instruments or anything, but it allows all of these emotions to just kind of percolate. And I looked down the section, and everyone in the section had been a student of mine or was a current student. And the music was so engaging. And I remember thinking, if I'm going to die in the next 6 months, just do it now, because you won't need a funeral, because I'm just going to levitate up. It was so, it just like all those elements came together.
Wow.
So that for me was the highlight of that connection with the orchestra.
And her collaboration with you, Bob, elevated it even more. You brought in all these other dimensions, lights, movement, mm-hmm. Color. The two of you collaborating as artists really brought something new and exciting to this art form.
Well, I think so. And the thing that was really neat about it is that, you know, Charlotte does what she does. I do what I do. And we know just enough about the other one to be able to complement that work. We're not able to get in the way, in other words. And so that's been really fun. And Charlotte is game for just about anything. When I think about, you know, especially some of the movement pieces we've done, the piece where we were hooked up with bungee cords and one thing and another.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You were hooked up to bungee cords?
Yeah, and danced together mm-hmm. and slung mm-hmm. each other all over that stage with yep. a bungee cord. And,
oh, man.
And yeah. Any number of other, my goodness, we've done all sorts of things, mm-hmm. come to think of it.
Is there a video record of this? Because I would really enjoy seeing that.
It'll cost you a little something.
Okay. Well, with all of that said, it's sure to be a really exciting evening Saturday night mm-hmm. at UNF's Lazar Performance Hall. Right. You don't want to call this a farewell concert, but it's going to be your last concert at UNF, correct?
Yes. I retire after the spring term, and I think it's best when you retire from a place like that, that you just go. You don't lurk. You don't go back and check on how things are going. And for me, letting go of things, you know, there's that saying, I let go with claw marks, you know. And so I'm starting the process early and getting my brain wrapped around that I have to let it go.
A little bittersweet?
Very. Some days I think this will be great, and other days I think, what on earth am I going to do?
Well, I'm sure you'll find something.
You know, to think of the school without Charlotte there.
Yeah, sure.
And her students are devoted to her in a way like I've never seen. It's quite extraordinary. And she's been a real treasure in our community. And it's just been a mighty blessing in my life to be able to share some art with you, Charlotte.
Well, Bob has changed my entire approach. Like I said, it got me out of that very small box I lived in, and it just allowed me to see performance a different way.
Will you be on stage Saturday night, Bob, as well?
I'm afraid so.
You will be there with bells on.
With bells on, yeah.
So this is such an opportunity. I'm sure there won't be an empty seat to see your final UNF concert.
That would be outstanding.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I love tradition, and so I traditionally give away a fabulous yet cheap gift to the first 300 people. So if you want one, get yourself there.
Oh, goodies.
Yeah. See there?
Goodies, treats, yes.
Oh,
who doesn't love treats?
How about that? So not only do you get to see Charlotte and Bob perform for the last time at UNF anyway, you get something free.
That's right.
Can't beat that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Saturday night at 8, correct?
Yes, it
at
is.
The Lazara Performance Hall mm-hmm. on the UNF campus. Well, it's a pleasure to hear all about it, and kudos to you both. Thanks so much for sharing your memories and thoughts about it with us.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you for having us. This is great. I appreciate it.
Percussionist Charlotte Mabry, along with Robert Ollie White and others, in her final UNF concert this Saturday night, 8 p.m. at the Lazara Performance Hall with goodies. Get your tickets on the UNF website. That is sure to be a fantastic event. And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme composed and performed by the Symphony's Pyotr Chepchik. Next on Diane Rehm, Democratic candidate for President Hillary Clinton has turned over to federal authorities a server containing thousands of emails from her time as Secretary of State. A closer look at what's in those emails and how the controversy is affecting her campaign, that's coming up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. See you then.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.